You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily. Yep. We are talking about big news here and a lot of, well, the biggest news. There's more than this story, but the biggest news, obviously, Brian Hoyer named the starter to face the Vikings Sunday in place of injured Brandon Weeden. There are other Browns topics we'll get into, but it's pretty hard to stray away from this one. And a guy who I know can provide even more perspective on this because he knows this Browns team well. He is assigned to Sunday's game for CBS to analyze it as he was the opener against the Dolphins, and he is Solomon Wilcott. Solly, welcome back.
Well, Ed, nice to be on with you, Vic. And yeah, we woke up today to some news that kind of, I'm sure the people in Cleveland have to be reeling with, obviously with Lee not being able to play, but the decision to go with Hoyer, not Campbell, and it's very intriguing to say the least.
Yes, Alman, Nathan Zagura here. You look at the decision to leapfrog, you know, have Hoyer go from number three to number one. We've heard Rob Chudzinski say it's more about game planning for Minnesota. They believe he can get the ball out more quickly and more accurately than Jason Campbell, and given the troubles of their offensive line, that was appealing to them. How do you see this going? And also, the one thing I wanted to get your comment on, and I don't know if you've heard this or not yet, but Rob Chudzinski was asked, when Brandon Weeden comes back, is he the starting quarterback? And he said, you know, we'll have to see at that point. He didn't even say, yeah, Brandon Whedon's going to be my guy.
Well, I think we all know that since this administration had began, that it was very difficult to get them to commit to Brandon Weeden. Now, these two games, I don't know that Brandon could say that, yeah, I've earned the right to continue to be the starting quarterback. And because the offensive line, I think, has failed. I think for me, the most disappointing part is the lack of a running game, given the abilities of Trent Richardson. It hasn't come to fruition. And you know, he had to start Brandon Weeden the first two games without maybe his best receiver in Josh Gordon. And now Gordon comes back, and now he's gone. This is one of those things where it's probably began in the worst way imaginable. They've had no luck on this situation, ball off the hand of many of receivers, ending up being intercepted. And I saw a play last week when Weeden had Chris Obanaya wide open up the sideline. He overthrows him. And so when you play like that, it leaves the door wide open for the coaches and the administrators. Don't think that people up top aren't weighing in on this decision. When it's the quarterback, it's more than just what the coach and coordinator think.
So as you see the chore in front of him, Brian Hoyer, who we don't know much about at all, only one career start. We know he's a smart guy. We know he's a decisive guy. We've certainly seen him in action, and there's nothing overwhelming in the way of real physical talent, but a guy who, if he's running things efficiently, then I guess you get that as your best level of performance. Now, it takes more than that to win in the NFL, but what you know of this team, this Browns team, and of the offensive scheming of Rob Chudzinski, North Turner, again, what kind of fit do you see, Solly, and what you know of Minnesota and what they bring to the table? Because there was a lot of discussion by Rob Chudzinski that this move to Hoyer has as much to do with the game planning specifically for that game as anything else.
I don't know how much that validity. I mean, and I trust Chud, but you and I both know in the NFL, you never decide quarterback based on who you're going to play. Other than that, we'd be getting a lot of different quarterbacks rotating for a team. In 16 games, you can't tell me all 16 games are tailored to whoever your quarterback is. Your quarterback's got to be adaptable. He's got to be able to adjust, as well as the game plan has to be able to adjust. I just have not ever seen a coach in the NFL saying, since we're playing this team, I'm going to play this quarterback. Since we're playing another team, I'll play another quarterback. Can you remember on all your years covering the NFL seeing something like that?
No, and when I've seen teams try to do the two quarterbacking system, the earliest recollection of that years ago with the Denver Broncos, it was a disaster. You don't have one quarterback if you think you have or need to use more than one to get through a season.
I do know, and you can remember this, Vic, we covered Buffalo. I'm covering them in a playoff game, and Rob Johnson lights it up at the end of the season. It's sort of a throwaway game for the Bills. And then the owner. This is what happens when people at the top make the football decisions over the coach, because Wade Phillips, who was a good coach then, led us to the end of the playoffs. Ralph Wilson likes Rob Johnson, wants him to start the playoff game against Tennessee. And the players, everyone was irate that Doug Flutie wasn't going to start since he was the quarterback that got them there.
Yes.
Rob Johnson, of course, plays that game. They lose. The Music City miracle occurred. And I don't think the Bills have been back to the playoffs since.
Nope. And I vividly remember that. And I my thought through that game, as much as it was close enough and whatever, I remember a sack that for a safety that Rob Johnson ended up taking in that game. Javon Kearse tackling him for that. And I remember thinking, you know, if you have what Flutie brought at that time, which was a lot of dynamic running around and making plays, an experience factor that he had, and it was shattering. And there was a divided locker room going into that game as well.
Yeah, and I will it's like this offseason, I believe Jason Campbell was one of their first offseason acquisitions in free agency. I know they paid him well. And then Hoyer was acquired later. I know he was released. And I don't know if I saw anything in the preseason. You guys are there close than I haven't seen anything in the preseason. I certainly haven't seen anything on tape that leads me to believe that Hoyer is a better quarterback than Jason Campbell. Campbell's got more skins in the game. He's got more pelts on the wall. He's got more wins, more everything in terms of production as a quarterback in this league. And I think he's a better fit for North Turner's offense, Jason Campbell is. But you and I both know there are other people in the building who may think more fondly of Brian Hoyer than maybe even some of the coaches. I don't know that there is a strong unity or unified front here, but I do know this. Chud and North Turner and the offensive coaches, they're all going to be in lockstep with what the organization wants to do corporately. And I think that's the best thing to do, to be honest with you. I do believe this. That based on decisions like this, what's going on with Wheaton, the future quarterback of the Cleveland Browns is not on the roster at this current time.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Solomon. I think it's becoming more and more apparent, and we're only in week three of the season, but I think that you're absolutely right there. As you look at this game against the Minnesota Vikings, a team that has struggled in its own right out of the gate here, what's the path to victory for this Cleveland Browns team? Does it continue to play good defense, but hope that, you know, getting Josh Gordon back along with Hoyer can provide some kind of a spark?
I think first is this offensive line's got to play better. I had this offensive line rated much higher than what I've seen them perform at in the first two games. And with that said, Trent Richardson's got to play better, guys. You know, the first game that I did against Miami, he was a guy, you know, there's a reason why Alex Gibb and Mike Shanahan, they have this one-cut rule for running backs, and that's to avoid what you're seeing right now from Trent Richardson. He's chopping his feet. He's running in place. He's indecisive. He's not slamming it up in there. He's not playing with that downhill-style, reckless abandon ability that we saw at Alabama. He's far better than what we're seeing right now. He's got to get going downhill and stop chopping the feet in one place until the defense closes in on them. So the run game has to happen, but the offensive line's got to play better too. None of those other things and play action pass, going to Josh Gordon, none of that's going to happen if they don't start running the football with some authority.
Solomon Wilcox from CBS Sports, also the NFL Network, is joining us here. He'll be on the call for Sunday's game between the Browns and the Minnesota Vikings for CBS, the TV call. Sally, we've heard from some fans, more than a few, in social media who are writing this, who are saying that this is sort of like the write-off of the season, that this move speaks to a team that really isn't in it to win it, so to speak, and has taken kind of an approach that, all right, you know, we'll do what we can with this guy, but this isn't really, quote, a winning move. And I know people can be skeptical and negative and whatever, and have had a lot of reasons. Nathan ran down the list of 19 different starting quarterbacks since 1999, the Browns returned to Cleveland, so it piles onto that. But locker room, players, what do you think the effect will be for the rest of the team seeing Brian Hoyer get this nod. You just laid out the scenario that Jason Campbell, his years, his fit would be better. Is there any chance that this could have a negative impact on the other players on this team, just seeing, hey, what's going on here?
It definitely can have a negative effect if Brian Hoyer does not play well. I mean, he literally has to play well. And he's got to be able to carry the team. He's got to be able to show in the huddle that he is in command. Now, I don't know if he'll be able to do that. Given all those things, the lack of a running game and some of those other things we talked about, is Jason Campbell that guy? We don't know. I mean, he's done it more. Many of those guys in that locker room have seen Jason Campbell in NFL games play well. Many of those same guys have not seen that from Brian Hoyer. Now, what they see every day in practice gives them another storyline to go by and more examples to maybe build their trust upon. But we don't get to see that. We don't get to go in the locker room. We don't get to – there's parts of practice that we don't get to see, and only those players know how they feel about each guy. But I do know this. When you play in the NFL and you played against guys, you know who can play. And the coaches can't tell you who the better player is. Because when you go up against that guy every single day, regardless of what the coach is saying, you already know who can play and who can't. You already know who you'd rather go into battle with and who you wouldn't. You know who you would have a preference for. And this is one of the areas where the locker room is still a sacred place for players that coaches, front office people don't get to tell the players who they need to like and who they have to support, because the players are going to do that indiscriminately. So the only thing they care about is who can play and who can't.
Right, and that's the bottom line, and we're going to find out how things go with Brian Hoyer here. I want to ask you one thing. We were talking with Gerard Cherry, who played in the league like you did, and Solomon. He was saying that he didn't care how hurt Brandon Whedon was, that Brandon Whedon needed to stay out there and finish that game regardless of his injury and show the team that he was, you know, a leader. What's your take on that? I mean, if the guy – I think it's possible we could see Brandon Whedon end up on IR. I don't have any information to that effect, but it certainly seems like a possible scenario given a lot of the different things that they're weighing in here on the decisions ultimately. But with a quarterback who has a thumb that, you know, could make it impossible to grip a football, where do you – as a player, what's your mentality on that? Do you just want people to go out there and try to do whatever they can to play, period, or is it a little bit different in this situation?
No, if you are going to hurt the team – I don't think any one player is important enough to hold back the rest of the football team. And I think if you can't take a snap from center, or if you can't grip the ball and throw it, and you're going to be throwing it to the other guys, then yeah, you got to come out of there. Remember, people skewered Mike Shanahan last year for leaving RG3 in the game too soon, not going to Kirk Cousins, saying it was selfish, and saying RG3 was selfish. They're going to question you no matter what. I remember Jay Cutler carrying a knee up in a playoff game. He comes out, and everybody called him a crybaby. All I know is Jay Cutler went through a season where he lost 25 pounds. He didn't know he had type 2 diabetes. When he was later diagnosed during the offseason, and everybody's like, oh, if we had we known that, it would have been okay. No, hey, he played through that whole scenario. And I just think that you've got to be careful when it's regarding a player's health. And many of us aren't doctors. We don't know to what extent they could have carried on or they should have tapped out and let the other guy go. I think you've got to trust the doctors, the trainers, and the player when it comes to something like that.
All right, Solomon, thank you so much.
Good stuff.
It's a great we could really talk with you much longer on this, but tremendous breakdown. And we look forward to seeing you in Minnesota, buddy.
I will tell you this. This Vikings defense isn't the Vikings defense of old. They're giving up a lot of big plays. So whoever's playing, I know Josh Gordon may be able to make some plays because Brandon Marshall made plenty. So I'm still excited to see what Cleveland's going to do offensively.
Well, let's hope you're
good.
Right.
You're right
about that. Yeah. We need it right now. Yes. All right. He is Solomon Wilcox, CBS Sports. He will be on the call for TV for Sunday's game between the Browns and the Vikings, and we've got much more coming up. We'll hear from you, your tweets, your calls, 216-578-0850 at Browns_Daily. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.